He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, we are going to be talking about Daryl Morey. Shouts to Daryl, man. We are on July 30th. We are less than 24 hours away from August. And then even worse, September. So shit's kind of drying up a little bit. And, thanks to Daryl Morey, we have something that we can actually talk about that is, I wouldn't go so far as to call it pressing, but it is pertinent. It is the kind of thing that people want to hear about. So we'll talk about Daryl Morey's quotes about the Lakers bubble championship. I want to talk more broadly about something I've noticed about, the type of person who knocks the championship that the Lakers won there in Orlando. And then what I was going to talk about coming into today, because we got the latest round of reporting on Jonathan Kuminga, was whether he would make sense for the Lakers as another gamble. They already have a gamble placed on DeAndre Ayton, obviously. They have a gamble placed on Marcus Smart. Does it make sense to just fill out a roster of gambles and, buy low candidates and stuff like that? And, does Kuminga fall in line with that thinking? So that'll be towards the tail end of the show. But like I said, Daryl Morey gave us the topic du jour. So we'll go ahead and start there. All right. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@Lakers Lounge to find the show there. If you guys are listening via podcast in the morning, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your pods, preferably on Odyssey. And hit that like button as well. That like button tends to help us quite a bit. And it's free. All of the stuff that I just asked you to do is all free. So like, rate, review, all that good stuff. Daryl Morey, everyone, he said the following, and I highlighted the important part of the quotation. Quote, this is, by the way, via The Athletic and Joe Vardon, who recapped that bubble experience, which was somehow already 5 years ago. Quote, had the Rockets won the title, I absolutely would have celebrated it as legitimate. That's honestly where we could stop. All right, that's it. Segment over. We'll go ahead and move on. No, not enough. All right, we'll dive back in. Knowing the immense effort and resilience required, yet everyone I speak to around the league privately agrees that it doesn't truly hold up as a genuine championship. Perhaps the lasting legacy of the NBA bubble is that the NBA should be proud of its leadership at both the beginning and end of the pandemic, even though the champion will forever be marked by an asterisk. Thing is, it's not. The only asterisk here is the one that Daryl says the people that he speaks to. Say it with your chest. If you're going to fucking say it with your chest. If you're going to come out and do the thing where it's like, they stomped my team. Lakers beat the shit out of the Rockets in 5 games in that series. Remember that was the series. I remember when the Lakers traded for Russell Westbrook, the number one criticism that I had of the trade was that the Lakers had just beaten the crap out of the Rockets by ignoring Russell Westbrook. And so it's like kind of funny and feels a little hollow to come from the guy who put that team together to sit here and say like, yeah, look, I'm sorry. I don't necessarily feel this way, but the people I talk to are saying that championship has an asterisk on it. If you're going to say it, bud. If you're going to come out and criticize the thing, just like, don't push out, say it. Come on. It's right there. You're right there. Just come out and say the thing. Anyway, figures. Daryl Morey would fall short of expectations. But the part of this that is just so stupid is the way he starts it. Had the Rockets won the title, I absolutely would have celebrated it as legitimate, knowing the immense effort and resilience required. So what are we doing here? Like, why make the point that you're apparently hearing from other people around the league? Why make the point? If you wouldn't have made that point had your team won, why are you making the point? It's like when he criticized China, when there were NBA teams on their way to China. Take a look around you, bud. Anyway, the part of it that you know, with this specific example of it, is that it's coming from one of the teams that the Lakers raced through that postseason. I made so much money gambling on that team, on that Lakers team, because before the series, it was like, well, are the Portland Trailblazers the best 8 seed of all time? No, they weren't. Lakers beat the crap out of them. Oh, what are they going to do when the Houston Rockets space them out? How are they going to deal with James Harden, famous playoff riser, James Harden and Russell Westbrook? What could they possibly do with those guys? Turns out 5 games. That was another easy one. You know, they met the Denver Nuggets in that conference finals, and that one was closer. And I think that was kind of the come to Jesus moment for Nikola Jokic, where he realized that he needed to be a little bit more serious about the way that he approached the game. And I think, you know, talking to some people closer to Denver, they feel that, you know, Jokic's career took a turn by way of what the Lakers and what Dwight Howard specifically did to annoy him to the extent that he did in that series. But the Lakers went through them and then beat the crap out of the Heat in the finals. And I would welcome any kind of criticism of that Lakers team if they were only good in the bubble, but they weren't. They were the best team in the NBA that year. And they, right before the league shut down, they had won back-to-back games against the Clippers and Bucks that had everybody going, oh. I remember hosting post-game shows about that. Like, oh, dang. Huh. This team might be legit. And then, obviously, the league shuts down. The world shuts down. And look, like Morey says, credit to the league for finding out a way to get a championship to be played. But what do you want? The Lakers, by the way, are the only team that we'd be having this conversation about. That's the other part of this that annoys me, is that, like, had the Bucks won the championship that year, or had the Heat won the championship that year, especially over the Lakers, we'd be hearing about, like, oh man, that's one of the greatest upsets in the history of the sport, that Jimmy Butler somehow toppled LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Wow, what an effort. Like, the Lakers are the only team that has everybody around the league so salty that you're going to make this kind of a point. You're going to try to make this kind of a point. And it always sounds stupid. And it always comes from losers. Like, my favorite example of the people who try to throw dirt on the bubble back then is Lou Williams, who was saying, oh yeah, once we saw that nobody was really going to respect it, we stopped trying. What the fuck? What? You're on your way to winning a potential championship. You blow a 3-1 lead, and the reason you blew the 3-1 lead is because you thought people wouldn't respect the championship? What kind of a loser mentality is that? And what kind of loser mentality is it to say, like, yeah, we would have respected it if we would have won it, but we didn't, so therefore it's fake? What? What are you talking about? And then that brings me to the second half of this point, which is, again, the kinds of people who make the point about the bubble versus the kind of people who went out and won it, and the kind of people who really tried to win it. Jokic played great in that playoffs. Jamal Murray played great in that playoffs. Jimmy Butler, right? A whole meme came from how hard he tried in that game against the Lakers, you know, that Miami was able to eke out and win. LeBron played his ass off. Anthony Davis played his ass off. Here's the thing. The point of the bubble wasn't where it was played, isn't where it was played. It's that it was a tournament where what was sitting there on the line was a championship. Ask Michael how he would have approached that tournament. Ask Michael how he approaches Tiddlywinks. It doesn't matter what it is. The people who have success in the NBA, who have prolonged success in the NBA, win multiple championships. They're the most competitive mother bleepers on planet Earth. They are so competitive that they make otherworldly competitive people, their peers in the NBA, they make them look not competitive. And so the people who take the bubble seriously, that respect the bubble, that consider it that way, we know how Kobe would have felt about it. It's an opportunity to beat the person in front of you. And it's an opportunity to beat enough people in front of you so that you get a championship at the other end of it. The point isn't that it was played not in front of fans in Orlando with no travel. That's not the point. The point is that you at the end of it, a champion was crowned. A winner of that tournament was crowned. That's the point. Whatever you're trying to explain away is like why you didn't try that hard. No, what matters there is that you're admitting to not trying as hard. What you're admitting to is not caring about an actual NBA championship being on the line. Everything beyond that is just you trying to explain it to yourself. You're trying to excuse away your behavior, and you're trying to excuse you not making it as far as you needed to make it in that championship or in that tournament. That's a you thing. It's not whoever won that thing, whoever, you know, was willing to set aside everything going on in the world. Remember, it wasn't just COVID. There was socioeconomical unrest, right? There was the Black Lives Matter marches were everywhere in the country that summer. George Floyd was a thing. You had the shooting in Wisconsin, I believe, that led to a walkout of a game there in the bubble. There were people legitimately worried. I remember we had just moved from California out here to Texas. I didn't see my parents didn't see my kid at the time. It was just Avery for like 2 years. I wasn't able to go back home for 2 years. It was like I was all but out of a job because I was at Locked On Lakers then, and there was no sports to talk about. So nobody was spending on advertising. So you were you were recording to basically nobody, and you were recording for free because nobody had advertising money because nobody knew if anybody would be able to buy anything ever again. You had, you know, Jen was basically not working at the time because she was a physical therapist and she couldn't see patients. And that's just a couple examples. There were millions of people who were put out of work and who just had to sit there and drink all day because we didn't know what else we could do. The people who went to the bubble, right? Those NBA players or those media members or the people who helped make the bubble work. All of those people left their families and weren't sure if, you know, who was going to be waiting for them whenever they got out of that bubble. Karl Anthony Towns lost his mom to COVID. Any number of people lost all. I'm pretty sure my grandpa was, you know, he died of COVID before we knew that COVID was a thing. So it was like, to be able to set aside all of that and focus enough to win a championship with all of that going on in this completely unique situation. That's, you know, to again, quote, like Maury says it, knowing the immense effort and resilience required. Like that's what he's talking about. So anybody who questions that, And it's always the same person. Lou Williams, no winning to speak of in his career. Daryl Morey hasn't made an NBA championship series yet, right? Or if ever. And by the funny thing with Morey too, he has two of the worst contracts in the sport. Joel Embiid's deal looks like it is going to age like milk, and Paul George's deal looks like it's going to age like milk on a summer day in the desert. Like it's just his cap situation is completely bleeped. He's in the middle of these ugly negotiations with Quentin Grimes. Their team isn't really going anywhere, even though they had championship expectations. He hasn't made a championship caliber team to this point in his career. So the thing that you do there to draw attention away from your own shortcomings is to call the question actual accomplishments. And that's all that I continue to hear, right? Paul George had some nonsense to say about the bubble back in the day. The people who have, you know, the people who truly love basketball, they'll say, hey, yeah, that was some of the best basketball we have ever been involved in. There were no other headaches. There were no NBA finals parties that you had to attend. There was no travel, so you weren't fatigued by the time you got to game, or as fatigued by the time you got to game three or four of a series. There was no, you know, you didn't have to sort out tickets for your family and friends to these championship games, which would take away from the attention that you could pay to the details required to win that championship. There are plenty of quotes from players who, by the way, have probably had some success since then. Jamal Murray among them, right? He has a championship to his name now. And the people who respected what it took to succeed in that situation, those are the people who I would bet on, you know, moving forward and say, yeah, that guy eventually is probably going to win something. And then they went out and did in Denver's case. So, yeah, it's going to keep on happening, and we're heading into, like, this is the perfect day for this to drop, the first truly August story of the summer as we arrive at July 30th. It's just so perfect that this is the day that it would drop, and that it would lead to the debate over this all over again. It's not even worth a debate anymore. Because if you look, you know, depending on what side that you land on, if you're the kind of person who's going to question the bubble, you got to look at your allies here. And it's a lot of losers on your side of that aisle. And it's perfectly fine to say, like, you know what? I don't really want to align myself with Lemon Pepper Lou. All right, I'm going to go to the other side of this thing. And I'm going to align myself with Michael, who would have respected the championship, Kobe, who would have respected the championship, LeBron, who did, Jokic, who did, Murray, who did, Jimmy Butler, who did respect the championship. I'm going to align myself with the cool crowd over there and let the losers be losers over there.